We are honored to have you at Whispers of Serenity to be the first your
شكرا.
live. So I hope this goes smoothly, inshallah.
إن شاء الله.
So Hana, before we get in, please, you know, introduce us to yourself. What do you do? And so people get to know who you are.
Okay, inshallah. Okay, so I'm sure everybody who follows me knows that I'm a full-time banking executive. That's what I basically do for, I've been working for close to 20 years, out of which 15 years has been in the banking industry. Part of my experience has been as a financial advisor back in Australia. So I was trained and qualified as a financial advisor. So what that means is that we advise clients on investment options, insurance options, how to save for kids' education, pay down their debt, budgeting, savings, basically all of that. So I yeah. was there for a few years, did that, and then I came back and continued on my banking journey. Part of also what I do as on the side is I'm a money coach. Have been doing that for over a decade. I've trained in a couple of people in a couple of companies here in Oman. So I do like a money management course, and I also do it outside of our organizations. Been doing it for about a year until obviously Corona came and we had to stop the training. Yeah. It was going quite well, alhamdulillah. So a lot of people benefited.
Alhamdulillah. And this is why we wanted to have you today at Whispers of Serenity to discuss, because this month the theme is relationship. So I thought of relationship with money. I think this is a new term that people are not aware that, do we have a relationship with money? So what does it mean to have a healthy relationship? Because I believe there, first of all, what is a relationship with money in your experience and in your perspective? What, how should our relationship with money be? And what is a healthy relationship?
Okay, so I had a couple of thoughts when you asked me to do this session. So I was thinking about it quite a bit and just going back over the last few years and seeing the type of clients that I had and the type of people that attended the sessions. Those who had healthy relationships and those who didn't have so healthy relationships. So yeah. I take it this way. Having a healthy relationship with money is just the same as having a healthy relationship with your family or with your friends. Yeah, so it's exactly the same. So how you react around money, how you treat money, how you use money, how you value money, this is all will determine basically your relationship with money. So if we're looking at a healthy relationship with money, let's just say that when you make time for your family and your friends, do you make time for your money? Yeah, so do you track your money? Do you prioritize it? Do you put it into a budget? So the same time and value that you would give your family and your friends or your social media, do you give that to your own money? Another thing would be just recognizing the difference between wanting something and needing something. Yeah, so we all want to drive a fancy car and have a luxury house, etc. Inshallah, we will all get there. But we need what we need to do is pay our bills. Yeah, and ensure that we can pay our bills and that we have enough money to save and to invest. The other thing about relationship is that if you're having a relationship with somebody, whether it's your family or your friends, and you're having some concerns, you will get clarity and you will find out, you know, okay, what's going on? What did you mean by that? But do we ask that of our money? You know, do we try to get clarity when it comes down to our money and what our money can do for us? And just the last thing on having a healthy relationship would be just having faith in long-term investments. So we put investments into people. So whether it's your family, your partner that you decide to marry, you do it for the long term and for the long haul, through thick and thin. Do you do that with your money? Because I know a lot of people who start saving and then something small will happen. And, you know, they'll have to break their savings. They're like, ah, khalas, you know, that's it. Yeah, you know, this didn't work. So I give up, you know, just go spend. So you have to have that long-term investments, because long-term investments with money is really the fruitful way to go.
Okay. It's very interesting because I don't think we grew up, you know, we'll hear about relationship with like your spouse, relationship with colleagues, but nobody's really talked about this. So this is a very interesting way to look at money, how my relationship with money. But okay, we've talked about the healthy relationships. What would be an unhealthy relationship? So healthy versus unhealthy. in your opinion?
Okay, so I think your bad relationship with money would be, for example, allowing some bad habits to determine how you spend your money. So let's just say you had a bad day at work. You're going to go to the mall, you're going to spend, you don't care, you've had a bad day, you deserve it, you know, you're just abusing your money at the end of the day. Yeah, that's not going to fix the problem. Another bad habit is just maybe punishing yourself. So you weren't able to save as much as you think you're able to save that particular month. So the next month, you're going to say no to family, no to friends, no to gathering, no to going out, and you're just going to punish yourself. So you don't want to have that type of bad relationship with your money. So I would say these are the two very big things that I've seen throughout the years that people do with bad relationships with money.
Okay, so and when you say that, I think it comes from an emotional as well sense that I've had a bad day, I really need to, you know, treat myself, so I'll go and spend, and it was maybe not budgeted or anything like that. But then how do I treat it, you know? For example, how does one treat themselves if no, the question is not coming out right? It means okay,
no, I get saying what you're saying. Yeah, so you don't treat yourself with having to buy something. So you can treat yourself with perhaps maybe talking to a friend. Yeah, maybe just having a cup of tea, maybe with your mom. I know my mom is my best friend. I can sit and have a conversation with her. And, you know, if I'm having a bad day, for example, rather than going to the shops, I'll call my mom, I'll call my sister, you know, and you can do that instead. One thing in order for you to ensure you don't have a bad relationship with your money is to make sure that you prioritize it. So having a budget, whether you want to call it a spending list or whether you want to call it a budget list, whatever it is, if you know where your money is going and you're telling your money where it's going to go, that's your number one healthy relationship straight away. Yeah. All right. So you should not allow your money to tell you where it's going. You know how we get to the end of the month? And we go, you know, where did my money go? It's because your money decided where it's going to go. Yeah. Versus I've put money for savings. I've paid my bills. I've put money for my next vacation. Inshallah soon. What's corona?
Inshallah.
You know, so you've budgeted and you've decided where your money is going. So when that bad day does happen, you're not going to incline straight away to go and, you know, and start spending it, because you've already got your goals in your mind and you already know where your money is going. Yeah. So you're going to be very vigilant about that, and you will find other ways, even if it's just going and buying an ice cream, that's not going to cost you much, you know, and then just venting to a friend. Yeah. Ice cream is always the best solution.
I was going to say, maybe the alternative is I can go and spend, but I'm constantly telling my mind, even though I'm that emotional turmoil, okay, mate, there's no, you are emotional. Don't go and spend on that. Why don't you just get a coffee? Why don't you just get a sweet or a cake or something, you know? It's that awareness, I feel, more than anything else, is that, first of all, as you said, to have a budget. And I think many of us don't. We, as you said, we fall under the category of, our money is dictating us where to go, and it's just impulses. Oh, I want that. Oh, I need that. Oh, this is new. It's not, have not decided, okay, for this month, this money, this amount is going to go here because this is important. We're not thinking of the future. We're just thinking of the now, which is something we all, I think, most of us, not you or anyone who's attended your course, because now we know we have to.
Oh, don't worry. I have been there before. This is how I learned. I have been there before. You know, I had to learn as a student, and that's why I got a part-time job, etc., because I had to learn the value of money just as everybody else. So I wasn't born with this. Yeah, and it was just an education that I had to learn as well. So yeah, you're absolutely correct.
And I think as well, the next point I wanted to go to, what are the bad habits that can lead to having an unhealthy relationship? So we touched upon a couple of them. One was this impulse buying, emotional buying, and the fact that we don't have a budget. Is there anything else that we need to be aware of that can lead to this
bad relationship? Yeah, so I think I think a lot of people don't understand the value of money and what it can do for you in the future. Yeah. So I've met a lot of my friends a long time ago used to tell me, oh, we're saving for our kids' college. And I'm like, fantastic. Where are you saving? And they're like, oh, you know, in the bank, in a normal savings account. And I realized then that people don't have the education, you know, necessary enough for them to realize the value of money. Because putting your money in a normal savings account, if you're saving for something for 12, 15, 20 years, that is not the way to go. Because, you know, the inflation rate that we have versus the rate of return that you're getting on your savings in a normal savings account is not going to suffice. And a lot of people do that because it's safe. Yeah, there's no risk to be taken. So you need to educate yourself to understand the value of money, what it can do for you in the long term. And once people know that, like I see people, the realization that they get when they're in my course, and they go, really, if I save just this amount every month, this is what I can expect, you know, in 10 years or 15 years. And once they know that, they completely change. Their habits change. They start saving more. I had a lady within 5 months of taking my course put a down payment on an apartment, you know, all cash, just because she changed a couple of habits. Yeah. So these are the type of things that inspire me. Just simple things, just teaching people the simple value of money and what investments could do. So the value of money is one of the first things that if people understand, this bad relationship with money, I feel will change.
And it's having these good habits, the realization of the value of money. Like I remember I attended just a snippet of your course or presentation that you had, and that coffee, remember that when you buy yourself that one real 500 coffee every day, how much that amounts to in a month, and then multiply that in a year. And you're thinking, wow, just from that coffee, you can, you know, simple habits that you have to train yourself in your life to manage to save some money. So that was like a light bulb moment.
And that was a live example. Yeah.
And
that was a live example that actually... Yeah. And that was somebody, I would say from PDO, when I was doing the training, she took me to the side and said, you know, I drink coffee every day. Is there a problem? So we just sat down, we did the math, and that's how that example came about. And I've been using it for the last 10 years.
It was a
simple example when she knew how much she was spending per year. So
that was a light bulb moment for me. And so we've talked about, now we all know now that the healthy relationship and the bad relationship. For me now, how does one start this relationship? Do we start it, like, how young as a parent, when am I supposed to teach my children, and as a student, for example, and onwards, what would be your advice to, like, parents for kids? And then if we move on to students, and then as well as, and then we'll get on to the third person.
Okay, so as a parent myself, alhamdulillah, I've been blessed with three beautiful girls. So I have been teaching them since they were able to count. So when they're able to count, we start talking a little bit about money. You know, what is a 100 beza? We take them to the shop. We let them pick out something. When they got to the age of 5, so I started doing this with my eldest. So when she was 5 years old, because what used to happen, you'd walk into a shop, you want to buy them like a small toy. And obviously they see all the big stuff and they're like, I want this. And obviously, mashallah, everything's 100, 200, 300 reals. You know, there's Barbie doll houses. So how do you say we can't have that or you can't afford that? You know, they just start doing a tantrum. So we started this exercise by basically I spoke to them before we went to the shop and we did I gave them a budget. So I said, your budget, obviously, mama, what is a budget? You know, so I'm like, a budget is the amount of money that you have to spend. So I'll show them. I said, your budget is 10, you know, because they can already count to 10 when they're 5. So we walk into the shop and it's like an exercise for her. So she walks around looking at all the different toys and I had to teach her where the price was, you know, so she knows where to look for. And mashallah, it worked. She went around, she found something for 10 rials, and she bought it. She was very proud of herself. We obviously encouraged her and said, you know, well done, you stuck to the budget. So she kept doing this. We kept doing this, always giving her a budget. This is at the age of 5. I remember once my dad took her to the shop and he calls me and he's like, you know, I took your daughter to the shop and she's asking me, what's my budget? You know, she's like, he's like, what is this? And I'm like, yes, mom, but she has a budget. Yeah. I'm like, she has a budget. She can't just buy whatever she wants, you know? So give her 200 beza, 300 beza, whatever it is, but she has to have a budget. So you have to bring your family, you know, and inform them so they're all aware of this. Now, when they get to the age of 6, 7, I did this three-jar concept. So you have the three-jar concept. One is for saving, one is for donating, and one is for spending. So every week they get an allowance, and I make sure the allowances are in 100 beza notes. So it's easy for them to put them in the different jars. So I explain to them, the donating is that they have to learn from a very young age about charity and giving back. And then saving is for them to save for a goal. So obviously a seven-year-old, her goal is to buy an OMG doll, you know, or to buy a LOL doll, you know, a seven-year-old, that would be her goal. So it's fine. That's her goal. And then the spending is for her, like, yeah, you know, every day she wants to go buy Santop or whatever, whatever it is. So say, for example, she'll get 1 rial per week. Yeah, at the age of 7. So she'll divide it. She'll put maybe 100 into donating. She'll put maybe 200 into spending and the rest into saving. And then she gets Eid money, birthday money, etc. So every couple of months, she's got like maybe 10 or 15 rials and, you know, pocket money, whatever she's gotten from anybody. And then she uses that to purchase her OMG doll or LO, whatever her goal was. And she feels so proud, you know, that she walked into the shop, she bought something with her own money. So now we're getting this discussion, all, and also the charity, by the way, whenever we filled up the jar for, you know, 500 beza or 1 rial, she goes herself and she puts the money into the charity box. When she wants to go to the shop, Malhara, you know, she will take the money from her spending jar. So they're learning the value of money. So now when I say to them, oh, you need to buy some books, they're like, from my money or from your money, you know, which money? so they're learning.
I didn't budget for, you know, this, mama.
yes. So they give me that look, mal, yani, who's paying for this, you know? So they're learning. But you have to do it gradually because you don't want them to hate the whole idea of saving and to hate the concept of budgeting. You have to do it gradually and slowly. And then you bring them into your lives and explain to them, yes, we get a salary, we work, and we have enough money for A, B, and C. We can't go on a holiday 5 times a year, or we can't buy this because we don't have money for that. We have to pay A, B, and C first. They start to understand and they start to appreciate. So you, this is as a parent. And then, as you were saying, as you're a student, so when I was a student, so I lived abroad for 10 years, you get a budget, you know, you get an allowance per month. And I think a lot of the times I found a lot of students don't know how to budget. They're not taught the principles of budgeting, just a simple Excel sheet. What's everything going to cost you? You know, do you have enough for everything? And then also keep some money for yourself to spend. You know, as a student, you're already very stressed out. You've got exams. You want to have a bit of money on the weekend to maybe get some takeaway, go for a movie, you know, etc. So that has to be factored into your budget. When I was studying abroad, I saw a lot of parents send allowances to their kids and within a week it's finished. You know, and I don't blame the parent and I don't blame the child. I think it's a mix of both, of not, you know, that them not knowing what, how to train them. And, you know, the child basically, you know, or the student at that time, not knowing really how to budget. You know, so it's a mixture of both. So I would say for parents who are going to be sending their kids abroad to just spend a bit of time in teaching them, you know, how to budget. You know, and have an Excel sheet, you know, and that's, I'm happy for anyone to email me and ask me for a budget sheet, and I'm happy to send it across. I've got a couple from simple ones to, you know, a little bit more advanced ones. But that's very important. Another thing as a student that I would always encourage, because it's something that I have done, is to work, to get part-time work if you're able to. يعني, alhamdulillah, I lived in Australia. I was able to work for 7 years. As part-time, because they allow that, as long as you're working 20 hours a week. I was able to save money. I was able to understand and appreciate the value of money, because I was getting paid for the time that I took out, you know, I had to study and I had to work. So as students, if you're able to get some part-time job, even if it's working at McDonald's, you know, it doesn't matter, because first of all, you get money, Yeah. Yes. Second of all, it teaches you the value of money. And third of all, when you come back to Oman and you go for a job interview, it's very good on your CV to have worked,
to have
in any field, to have that experience. Yeah. It shows that you are a type of person that's just not going to sit back and, you know, you can handle both, you know, studying and working. Yeah. Yeah. So I touched upon parenting and students.
Thank you so much. As a parent myself now, Hadil is 14, and I I didn't go as into depth with that, but they do understand the value of money. So instilling that in children at such a young age builds up their character and their relationship with money. So thank you so much for sharing that. Now, the most important thing which many of us fall into, we already have debts, Hannah. And now you're telling us to create a budget, and maybe we have a bad relationship with money. So how can we better that relationship now? For example, I have debts and I don't have a good relationship with money. How do I start?
Yeah, so we all have debts. That's perfectly fine. Obviously, it's healthy to have, you know, the type of debt that is going to grow in value. So you took a loan to buy a land, to buy a house, etc. That's good debt. Yeah, so we should not discourage people from buying properties, because property is a good asset to have. Nevertheless, whatever type of debt you have, again, I will say you're not going to know how to prioritize everything unless you have a budget, because unless you list everything down, yeah, so you put down the fixed cost first. So you'll put down what you have to pay, all your bills, necessary bills. Yeah, so what are your fixed bills per month? So if the school fees, for example, your electricity, your water, your petrol, car, etc., everything has to be listed down with that debt, so that installment that you have to pay back. And then you see what you have at the end of the month. So don't put entertainment in there. And don't put saving, don't put anything, just put the essentials, so that you could see what you have at the end of the month. Now, what you have at the end of the month will determine how much you can maybe put more towards your loan. So maybe you can increase the amount of your installment, so that you can reduce the years, because, you know, the longer the years, the more interest you're paying. Yeah.
Yes.
What you could put aside for savings, investing, and also pay yourself. So make sure you have some money there for you to live. Yeah. That you can, if you want to go for a coffee, you want to go for the movies, you want to, you know, go for a vacation. So it really depends on your budget. But that's what I tell everybody. What's your budget? If you don't have a budget, you're not going to know where you're going, and you're not going to know where your money is going.
So that's very valuable. I think many of us, now that they're hearing this, probably thinking that question, where do I start? How can I start? So that's very valuable. Thank you so much for sharing. So now, your final words, Hannah. I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your time and your advice with us. So now, just your final words before we wrap it up.
Yeah, so my final words is that I hope, yeah, whoever is listening, everybody who's listening, just takes a hard look at their money situation. Yeah, so are you having a healthy relationship? Are you having a not so healthy relationship? What could you do in order to better that relationship with your money? Do you need, you know, are you a bit stuck? You're not sure where to start? Like I said, just use a budget sheet, you know, even it's just a simple Excel sheet, income, expenses, what's your outcome. Try to learn more about money. So speak to your bank, speak to a financial advisor in regards to what could you do with your savings? How can you better your future? Yeah, but that healthy relationship is the number one thing that you need to ensure that you're having with your money. So I hope this discussion has given some clarity on that.
I hope so too. I'm sure it has. It has in, for me personally, so I'm sure for the ones following as well. It seems we have some question. Just a question here. Would you mind answering it, Hannah? So
one
question came. Many of us don't plan. Many of us don't plan for life after retirement. Any advice there?
Yeah. So one of the things that I discuss in my sessions is retirement. And the funny thing is that I have a lot of young people in my sessions. So when I tell them retirement, they look at me like, هذه صاحية ولا كيف يعني, we still have 40, 50 years. I always ask people, you know, what would you want to do when you're retired? Yeah, so first question would be, when do you want to retire? You know, so I keep telling my husband, oh, we have to work till we're 60. He's like, why 60? You're the financial guru. Make sure that we've, you know, we retire at 55 or 50. You know, work it out. So number one, when do you want to retire? Yeah, and then work backwards. So if you want to retire, you know, early retirement, and if you are in the private sector, then you're basically, your pension is with PASI. They have a calculator on their website that allows you to know how much you're going to be getting in terms of your pension when you retire. If you're working for other organizations like PDO, for example, they have their own retirement plan. So find out when you'd like to retire, how much are you likely to get from your pension when you do retire, and is that money going to be enough? Can you hear me? Yeah, is that money going to be enough for when you do retire? So like me, inshallah, when I do retire, I don't plan to sit at home. I plan to travel as much as I can. So I know I need money for that. Yeah, so in order to ensure that I have more than just the normal pension, yeah, that PASI, I need to put money towards investments, whether it's properties or mutual funds. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it seems to be just the connection is not too strong, so sometimes we can hear, but now it's okay.
Okay, all right. So this is what I would ask. So when do you want to retire? What is the pension that you're likely going to get at retirement? And what sort of lifestyle would you like to have when you are retired? So some people like to stay at home, not travel so much, so their pension might be enough. Some people might like to do a bit more, so they have to check that their pension will be enough. So from now, if you're at a young age, try putting money towards that, you know, to ensure that you have more than just your pension.
Okay. Very sound advice as always. I like that your husband called you financial guru and he wants to say, hey, we have to be different.
And he's in investments, and he's in investments as well. He's a banker as well. But you know, sometimes like how they say, you know, a doctor is the worst patient. So he's leaving this to me. Yeah. So yes. I'm a financial advisor, but he's more into investments. Yeah. In a different field.
Mashallah, we complement each other. That's so good. We're just getting questions here. I don't know if you want to take one more question before we end this. I leave this up to you. Hannah has her account, which we have shared. Inshallah, you will be sharing, you know, once Corona is over. I look forward to attending your courses, inshallah. So here it says, there are two questions here, Hannah. There's any traders... Oh, here, I think it's a general question. Any traders in here? So I'm not too sure what he means by that. And then there is, I spend money on gifts more than myself, which makes me go into my savings. How do I stop that?
So gifts don't always have to be something that you have to buy, yeah? And your family and friends who cherish you, who know your money situation, will understand if you're not able to buy them, for example, a present. I had a friend once just baked me a cake, you know, that was something that probably didn't cost as much, but it meant a lot to me because she made the time and effort. So, you don't always have to buy the most expensive thing, you know, to show your friends or family love. You know, there's different ways of how you could do that, especially if you're going to be going into your savings. Your savings is not something that you should be touching, you know, to buy presents. Sorry.
There's your answer. Thank you so much, Hannah. I don't know if we have any other questions, but I think we will end it here. Should you have any questions, Hannah is more than happy, I think,
to you. Can message you. Me.
And you can, and we will share, Hannah, your email, or I think a link you said about the budget for people to contact
so
you.
They can message me on Instagram, and I will correspond with them, and inshallah, I will email them. It's not an issue.
Okay. Thank you so much once again, Hannah, for your time, for your valuable advice.
Shukran.
I learned so much, and I hope you enjoyed having this live with us. Thank you so much.
Inshallah. Shukran. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Today, I'm going to talk about boundaries in relationships.